Benjamin versus Barton Community College 19-3048. You may proceed when you're ready.
And please the court. My name is Anthony Benucci. I represent the appellant and the plaintiff in this case, Mark Benjamin. This is an appeal from a summary judgment on a retaliatory discharge claim brought under Kansas state law and under Kansas' whistleblower exception to the at-will employment doctrine. The whistleblower exception allows for employees to have a private cause of action if they are terminated after they have reported some wrongdoing that has to do pertains with to the public health, public safety, and public welfare. And in this case, these cases are all decided under the rubric of McDonnell Douglas. There must be a prima facie case made by the employee. There must be and if that's made, then if the employer comes forward with a rationale that supports a non-discriminatory or, in this case, a non-retaliatory action, then the burden shifts back to the plaintiff and the employee, and he must show that there was some pretext, that the reason that the employer gave wasn't the real reason why he was terminated. It was actually just cover for the retaliation. And since this case really boils down to the district court granted summary judgment based on a failure, an alleged, or the court's finding that there was a failure of proof on the pretext question. So that was error because in this case, there are several pieces of evidence that the whole universe of evidence in the case that would give a reasonable juror grounds to find that the reasons given by the college here for terminating Mr. Benjamin were pretextual. What happened in this case was Mr. Benjamin was a college basketball coach for Barton County Community College in Kansas. In February of 2016, I believe. I'm sorry, in February of 2017, he reported that the college. He reported to the athletic director, Mr. Rawls, that the college had been paying for student-athlete travel in violation of the conference rules that the conference that prohibited the school from paying for student-athlete travel. And about 6 weeks later, Athletic Director Rawls initiated the process to remove Coach Benjamin as the coach, and about a couple of weeks after that, the college terminated his contract.
So, February, the disclosure is made. April, the process is initiated.
Yes, Your Honor.
And he's terminated in June.
Terminated in May 8th.
Before his contract was up.
That's right, Your Honor, before his contract was up. The reasons given by the college and the reasons cited by the district court were that he had been insubordinate, that he had made harassing and had been verbally harassing players, and that he had been running the program in a manner that was unprofessional and in violation of the terms of his contract. And the problem with that is that, first of all, the timing. And this, as I said, this happened just weeks after he reported this wrongdoing. And the reasons given by Athletic Director Rawls, he created a report the day that he decided that he was going to move to oust this coach. And the reasons given were several, to be candid. Several of those reasons lack credibility. Take, for example, the grounds that Coach Benjamin had failed in his duties as the softball coach by failing to recruit enough student athletes for the 2016-2017 season. The record shows that Mr. Rawls would have known and did know that that was actually false, that the Mr. Coach Benjamin explained in his deposition testimony that the reason that these that there were six or seven players that had left the program for various reasons specific to their own circumstances, having nothing to do with any failure of recruiting, and that happened in the summer of 2016. And at the same time, Coach Benjamin was out on the recruiting trail recruiting players for the next season as the normal recruiting cycle would go, and he secured 13 letters of intent for those for that next season. So there wasn't a failure of recruiting, and more importantly, the athletic director knew, a reasonable inference can be drawn that he knew that there wasn't a failure in recruiting, and yet he cited that in this report that he created on the day that he decided to oust Mr. Coach Benjamin from.
It's true, though, for the period after, for the season after June 2016, the team had been decimated with departures, right?
Your Honor, it is true that there were, I think, six or seven players that had left on the timeline that Your Honor mentions. But that was due to their own circumstances. They, according to Mr. Benjamin's testimony, and at summary judgment, we have to credit Mr. Benjamin's testimony on that. And so there wasn't
those people who departed, people who testified. Either their parents testified or they testified that he had made terrible statements to him?
Your Honor, I candidly don't think so, but I don't know that 100%, and I hate to say that and be wrong.
In any season before the one beginning June 2016, where Benjamin's team had been fraught with so many departures.
That doesn't appear in the record, no. And that brings up...
That is something new.
It is, certainly. But again, Coach Benjamin gave his explanation for that in his deposition testimony. He explained what those players were telling him at the time, and that can be found at in the appendix at page 236 and then again at 238. His deposition testimony explaining...
He's a flavor for... why he says they left.
Well, one person decided to not play softball anymore. One person had to go back home to Washington, for example. There were personal reasons given to him, and those are the reasons that he testified to, and thus creating...
None of them were because they didn't like him as a coach.
That's not his testimony, and I don't think that's in the record about what those folks were leaving for.
Can you defeat pretext? Can you meet your pretext burden... based on using his testimony? I mean, what if the record shows that the same players that told him I'm leaving for personal reasons or I've got to go back home to Washington told Rolf or somebody connected to Rolf, I can't stand that guy. He says all these nasty things and I'm just not going to be part of it. In fact, it's so bad I'm quitting softball. I mean, does your client coming back and saying, well, that's not what they told me, is that good enough?
Well, Your Honor, in this instance,
assume what I said is true. I'm not holding you to my version.
Sure. In this instance, yes, I think that would be good enough for him to create a disputed issue of fact over whether he's telling the truth or whether the players are telling the truth. The overarching question here, of course, is, when does the plaintiff have his day in court and have?
But isn't Rolf allowed to believe one over the other? I mean, does Rolf get himself in hot water and you know expose himself to liability because he believes player complaints over the coach?
Well, the question about whether Rolf, that's the main dispute of fact here, there is evidence the jury can believe that Rawls did not believe that these were legitimate reasons to terminate Coach Benjamin, because taking the player complaints, for example, I mean, that is the hardest fact in this case for the plaintiff, obviously. And so taking those here, the ones that happened in 2017, well, first of all, in 2013, there were a player complaint that didn't result in any discipline. And in 2015, there was a player complaint that didn't result in any discipline. And it seems there were other complaints prior to 2017 that didn't result in any discipline. Coach Benjamin had never been disciplined at all.
As to these six players, I thought you told me the record indicated that of these six players who departed, none of them are included among the complainers about the coach.
That's my understanding of the record. There are five other complaints that happened in February that athletic director Rawls reports having received from players on behalf of five players. Either they came from the players or they came from the parents. And I think those are different players than the players that left in the summer of 2016. But again, I'm not 100% sure on that.
If Rolf believed that, you know, these emails, these player statements indicated that he was abusive and unprofessional, why isn't that an independent justification for failure to renew the contract?
If there was no countervailing evidence challenging his true belief on that, then the court, that would be...
Okay, and what was the evidence that he didn't believe those players' statements?
The evidence that the jury can use to believe that he didn't believe them is, number one, his treatment of player complaints in the past, Coach Rawls, or Athletic Director Rawls. And number two, Coach Benjamin testified in his deposition testimony and disputed the underlying facts, saying that these players had all been disciplined because they'd either violated team rules or, in some cases, the law. And so there was an implicit bias, and those folks had an axe to grind, and that is why they were all related in some way, friends. And so that is the reason for what happened. At least that raises a disputed fact for the jury.
Complaints prior to February 2016 about him being abusive, at least verbally, towards players.
I didn't get the first part of your question.
Is there any record evidence that prior to February 2016, there were complaints that he was verbally abusive to players?
I don't think so. I think that I don't recall off the top of my head the contents of the 2013 and 2015 complaint, but that's in the emails that are in the record, the 2013 and the 2015 email. And it definitely didn't rise to the level of the salaciousness of the allegations that appeared through these five players that came forward.
Well, wouldn't that weigh against you? Because one of the things you're talking about is the idea that he'd had complaints before, but they didn't care. And then all of a sudden, after he makes this report, then all of a sudden they care about complaints. But it sounds to me like you're conceding that the gravity of the complaints are more serious, that the allegations are more salacious than they were in the early complaints where there wasn't any disciplinary action.
Well, it could cut both ways, Your Honor. It could also show that they were fabricated or that they weren't true because these players had an axe to grind, like I said. That, again, raises a dispute, a fact, for the jury to determine. Did Rawls really believe that, or did he not believe that, or was he just trying to punish Coach Benjamin for reporting this wrongdoing that happened within the recruiting process? I'm sorry, not the recruiting process, but paying student athlete travel. I'd like to reserve my last minute if I could.
You may.
Thank you, Judge.
May it please the court, Derek Casey on behalf of the Board of Trustees of Barton County Community College, known commonly as Barton Community College, located in Great Bend, Kansas. Judge Carson, I'd like to pick up with one of your first questions, which kind of goes to one of the reasons why I asked for oral arguments in this case. I was concerned with the plaintiff's position on appeal and their argument, which they make several times in their opening brief and in the reply, that this court and the district court, this being a summary judgment decision, must disregard evidence favorable to the college, which the jury is not required to believe. Mr. Benjamin cites a U.S. Supreme Court case for that proposition, Reeves versus Sanderson Plumbing, 530 U.S. at 151, a 2000 decision. That citation to authority kind of bothered me a little bit, and I think it's kind of part of your question, Judge Carson, as to, well, should the court just disregard any evidence that could be considered favorable to the college's position in defense and only look at what Mr. Benjamin had to say? And if that's going to be our standard in this, then we can just kind of do away with the McDonnell-Douglas test, which Kansas courts have adopted, which this court has adopted. It's a procedural rule, of course, for Kansas retaliatory discharge cases. But the problem with that citation, with that quotation, is the Supreme Court didn't conclude at that point. The Supreme Court went on to say, the court should give credence to the evidence favoring the non-movement, as well as that evidence supporting the movement that is uncontradicted and unimpeached, particularly from disinterested witnesses. And that's what we have in this case. What the plaintiff appellants want you to do is to disregard the uncontroverted and the unimpeached evidence, particularly from disinterested witnesses. And I'll go into the facts on that a little bit more. I wanted to address one of your questions, Judge Murphy. The allegations of Coach Benjamin's conduct towards players surfaced in April of 2017. Before then, there were no allegations. Those departures in 2015 and 2016, Coach Benjamin gave us some reasons. We didn't challenge those. We don't have any information that he was being abusive to players at that time. The concern from the athletic director was, you're supposed to field 20 players. You're not getting letters of intent. What we thought he was doing.
There were complaints about abusive treatment and unprofessional statements in 2013 and 2015.
There were two prior parent reports, and what the athletic director testified, he said, in this highly competitive environment, you sporadically get complaints. And he kind of considered those first two to not be that big a deal. It wasn't until that flurry of them in April of 2017 that he became concerned.
Were any of the six departing players persons who complained about his conduct or whose parents complained?
I'm sorry, did you say that again?
The six departing players.
In the spring of 2017.
Were any of those people who had complained or whose parents complained about his conduct?
The ones who departed in 2017 complained about his conduct and reported it to the athletic director.
Are these the same six we've been talking about?
No, I think we're talking about two different groups, sir.
I'm talking about
the earlier ones.
The six earlier.
No, they never complained about Coach Benjamin at all. What the athletic director thought was going on, for whatever it's worth, he thought Coach Benjamin was getting ready to go on to bigger and better things and had not recruited. That's what it looked like to him. Again, that's an athletic director's problem that they have to deal with when they have a successful coach, and that's really not the crux of our case. It's one of the factors the athletic director listed. But let's face it, it's his conduct in April of 2017 that pushed it over the edge, that caused the conclusion of his employment.
Okay, so the investigation begins in April?
April of 2017, after he meets with the HR director.
Had any of these parental or ballplayer complaints occurred before then?
No, they occurred on or before April 11th and after. Excuse me. Shortly before and after April 11.
So effectively, after he begins his investigation.
The sequence, as I understand it, is he receives some calls, and I believe this is uncontroverted. He receives some calls from some parents, and the way he does when he gets calls like that from parents or student athletes complaining, he says, can you send me something in writing? He went to the HR director, Julie Knoblich, and this is all in the record, and talked to her about it, and she has in her notes, which is attached to her declaration in the record, that they talked about he'd received player complaints and parent complaints. And he initiates his investigation after that meeting with her.
So it's those complaints that cause the initiation of the investigation?
Yes. Yes.
Nothing else?
Nothing else.
All right. Did he make contact with the people who complained in 2013 and 15, like he did with these people in 2016? Did he make contact with them?
I don't know the answer to that, sir. I don't recall.
So his conduct was different in 2016 in following up with the complaints than it was in 2013 and 2015.
He did not make further contact with those parents in 2017. They contacted him by telephone. 2017, excuse me, I misspoke.
2016 is when the process begins. He's terminated in May 2016, right?
I'm sorry, I've misspoken. No, he was terminated in May of 2017. The process began in...
I've got my dates mixed up.
Process began in April of 2017.
Right, and Benjamin's disclosure was in February 2017.
Yes, February 20th.
Oh, okay, all right. In the earlier complaints, you say that there was no follow-up.
I'm not aware of any follow-up. I think he followed his same procedure in that he was contacted and he asked them to put it in writing. He didn't think the complaints were that severe and took no further action. He kept them in the file. That was it.
All right. How many people had complained at the time he initiated the process?
In April of 2017?
Yes.
There were six complaints.
Before he initiated the process?
No, I don't know exactly when those calls came.
Well, that's important, because if they come after he initiated the process, then they don't relate to the initiation of the process.
Well, the
question is, what does the record indicate of how many complaints by parents or ballplayers were there before he initiated the process?
The record indicates that on April 11th, he received the first email. He said he received telephone calls before that, but I don't know if he meant hours or days. We don't have that in the record.
How many?
We don't have that in the record. Because
so it could be the same as number as occurred in 2013 or 2015.
Could have been, but they're also vastly different complaints when you read the actual complaints that came.
Do we have the complaints in 2015 in the
record? Yes. Yes,
they have the ones in 2013?
Yes.
We have all the complaints that have ever been made against him in the record?
By student athletes and by parents. We don't have all the complaints. I don't know that we have all the complaints by other members of the athletic department, except as referenced in deposition testimony. Which,
you're talking about things like the basketball
yes.
incident.
Yeah, things that were not directly leading to his termination like these incidents were. I wanted to clarify that there's two separate groups there. Sorry, let me pick back up where I was. For the purposes of your review of this, I would suggest that the facts, of course, we've already talked about, but there's a few other facts that are uncontroverted that are very important. Mr. Benjamin, on appeal, urges this court to reverse the district court's decision, claiming that timing, that is temporal proximity, the lack of discipline or prior reprimand, and a sham investigation show that the college's reasons for terminating Mr. Benjamin's employment were pretext for retaliatory discharge. As we talked about in just the last few minutes, Mr. Benjamin made his report of violation of conference rules on February 20th of 2017. It was not until 7 weeks later, after Mr. Rolfs had received complaints from parents of disturbing behavior, and I don't think anybody challenges it. It's disturbing as to how he was treating some of his student athletes. And by the way, Mr. Benjamin did not flatly deny that he engaged in that behavior. He admitted large parts of it. The only part that he denied, and this is in the district court's opinion, he denied that he yelled and screamed at players. He didn't deny the other conduct, and that's in the briefs, and I've talked to him about that in his deposition. He did admit those other events occurred. He put a little different shade on them, but he admitted that most of them occurred. When we're looking at this timing, it was a 7-week interval between the report and when the investigation begins, and then another 3 or 4 weeks before the termination actually occurs. That timing, in and of itself, by this court's decisions, is insufficient to establish pretext. And a case that I think that's particularly instructive on that is Twig versus Hawker Beechcraft, another case out of the District of Kansas. Which holds that temporal proximity has minimal probative value in a retaliation case where intervening events between the protected conduct and the adverse employment action provide a legitimate basis for the employer's actions. Here we have those intervening events with those complaints of this disturbing behavior in April of 2017 that occurred between the report in February of 2017 and the actual termination in May of 2017.
Can you give me generalized categories of the stated reasons for his termination? There were budgetary problems, correct?
No, there were no budgetary problems. The stated reasons for his termination, yes, I can do that. I thought I could. I've written them down like five times in the last 2 days, of course.
Are they generalizations from the record as a whole, or is there a letter?
No, there's a specific statement given by the college to Mr. Benjamin. It was insubordination, verbally abusive to players and other employees, unprofessional conduct, and the inability to manage the softball program in a professional manner.
Didn't the latter include budgetary issues?
In the sense of he has a fund that he's supposed to fundraise for to buy extra items for the softball team, and he had depleted that and not restored that fund. I was thinking budgetary.
Wasn't that the same case in prior years?
That had happened several years before, and he had never replenished it.
Right.
Yeah. When Mr. Rolfs made his report.
And it was not listed as a problem, right?
It was not specifically listed. Mr. Rolfs made a complete history report to the president in recommending that his contract not be renewed, and that was one of the factors that was listed in the report by Mr. Rolfs to the president.
And unprofessional conduct towards other members of the athletic program, generally?
Yeah, I don't remember if that's exactly what was in the memo, but that was certainly – I don't know if that was in the memo given to Mr. Benjamin – but it was in the memorandum given to the president.
Did they specify what those incidents were vis-a-vis other employees of the athletic department?
To the president or to Mr. Benjamin?
In the reasons for his termination.
In the reasons the college gave to Mr. Benjamin did not specify those particularly.
What about to the president?
To the president, it specified them particularly, yes, in detail.
Give me a flavor for what those were.
One of them that comes to, well, there was a direct attack on Mr. Rolfs in the autumn before, in October of 2016. Mr. Benjamin went to HR and accused Mr. Rolfs, the athletic director, of using racial epithets and other things of that nature. There was another incident in January of 2016, occurred at the end of a men's basketball game. Mr. Benjamin confronted another member of the athletic department about his assistant coach's conduct and how she managed the table, and that she was managing the scorer's table, and the coaches got into a dispute towards the end of the game. She got involved in that dispute, and he didn't think that they had acted appropriately towards the assistant coach, and Mr. Benjamin made a scene, for lack of a better description, right in front of the boosters, and that was one of the incidents. Those are the two incidents, I believe, that involve members of the athletic department. So in that time, yes. I'm sorry, I made my own echo. So for those reasons, under the Twigg decision, that temporal proximity, that standing on its own, it can't be considered. The lack of prior discipline, I think, is readily dealt with under this court's precedent. It wasn't their policy or procedure. It wasn't their practice. They didn't show similarly situated employees being treated differently, so he can't point to lack of discipline or reprimand. And finally, whether or not it was a sham investigation, really important. There's no indication that the college fabricated the student and parent reports. There's no indication that they solicited those reports. It came to them first. He asked for them in writing, but it came for them first. But most importantly, Mr. Benjamin wants to say he kicked these people off the team, and so they had a bias. Mr. Benjamin has never presented any evidence to any court that Mr. Rolfs knew that these people were biased in any way or had an ulterior motive in making these reports to him. And that's what the district court focused on in finding that he'd failed to provide evidence of pretext to support his claim. And for that reason, we'd ask this court to affirm. Thank you for your time today.
Counsel, Mr. Benucci, you have some rebuttal?
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Really quickly on the timing. The timing is a main part of the pretext argument here. The colleague's counsel is correct. It can't be the only thing on the pretext element, but it can work together with all the other pieces of evidence that demonstrate that the reasons given weren't the true reasons. And here, the timing, the court has kind of picked up on it. These player complaints came in on all the emails that were documented came in after April 11th. And April 11th is the date that Mr. Rawls went to the athletic director and said.
But as I understand it, the phone calls came before that.
That's what the Keska.
These emails came in because he asked for them.
Your Honor, right. We don't know.
The complaints have been made.
Yes, some complaints. We don't know how many. It's vague about what came before April 11th. The record is not clear on exactly how many, when they happened. It's just some phone calls were made. So the timing of the issue of this, the way the investigation happened, none of these were ever brought to Coach Benjamin's attention before the termination. That itself gives rise to questions about what was going on here. And so the timing, the budget issue that the court was talking about before, there's an inconsistency in the argument that, or in the report, internal inconsistency with Mr. Rolfe's own statement. He says he didn't operate his budget properly, but then he says that he has the discretion to operate his budget. So, internally, there's an internal inconsistency. There are several inconsistencies in the case that would give rise. We ask the court reverse the summary judgment on the pretext question.
Counsel, we appreciate the arguments. You're excused.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case shall be submitted.